sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hello, Scott.
Good morning.
How are you?
How are you?
Nice to see you all again.
How's Francis? Did Francis move around last night?
He did.
You're Elf.
Yeah, how about, what's your guy's name?
Elf.
Elf.
Oh, he moved.
Imaginative group, those Zolaks.
Unfortunately, he moved. He hasn't moved in a couple days. So he moved to a spot, which is close to where the kid does his, he likes to get up in the morning and do his math in the morning. He ain't doing the math now because the Elf moved, Dad. Now it's right by where I do the math, and I'm not going in that room. Now it's like creeped him out.
He was
like, I thought you didn't believe in this stuff. You know what I mean? Now he's like, Dad, the Elf moved. And it's weird. You're upstairs. Nobody's down here. I'm not going in that room. Now it's creeping him out. Like, I didn't think the kids get creeped out by it.
Well, yours did.
At least I didn't name mine Francis.
The kids named it.
What are you doing? Why'd they come up with that name?
Well, it's one of my kids' middle names.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, that's nice.
That's why it happened.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
that's okay then.
I guess.
That's a different name.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what's doing, Hardy? Get that stuff on your face?
Good. Yeah. Yeah. I'm feeling 22% better today.
Oh,
you guys ain't better?
7%, I think.
I'd say 3 to 4% better.
Oh, it's still trending in the right direction. How you doing, Jim?
Didn't see Jim.
Didn't see Jim in a pre-show thing.
In the what?
Pre-show meeting. You should go in there and hang out.
While you were resting.
He
was there. You weren't.
I talked to Jim.
He was in the meeting.
You guys are a lively bunch today.
Yeah, we're all dead. I'm sorry. I wanted to get to Sony Michel today. Did you catch any of Felger Maz yesterday right out of the gate with Greg Bedard?
Sure.
They were down,
of course I did.
Down on Sony Michel again.
Shocker. Once you're there, you can't go back.
So apparently, Greg Bedard's biggest gripe was that Adam Jones, apparently, I didn't hear it, so I'm just relaying what Bedard said, that the reason the Patriots were able to hang on and win over the Jets was Sony Michel. That if they didn't have Sony Michel on Sunday, they don't beat the Jets. Do you agree with that?
No.
I don't either. They
would have beat him with Cordarrelle Patterson running the ball. They would have won. They would have just like they beat that other team when Cordarrelle ran.
I don't like watching Cordarrelle Patterson run the football. I much prefer watching Sony Michel run the football.
Yep.
But I also would fully admit that the offensive line is a big factor in whether or not you can run the ball. And it was on Sunday again. Offensive line got healthy, and they were running the ball well again. Now, that's not to take anything away from Sony Michel.
Patriots.com has the post-game video of the locker room, and to see Brady go up to each individual lineman and pound him on the chest, that's a way to go. That's a way to run the damn ball. Yeah. The offensive line's in tune.
So I think, you know, for all the talk of Sony Michel being so great, right? A lot of people very high on Sony Michel. And I think we've been higher on Michel than most shows.
I think he's been very good. I don't think the word great has been thrown around.
I think it has been by callers and fans. I heard that post game Sunday that he's great.
You remember Corey Dillon at the end of games, or even remember Antoine Smith, big old number 32.
In fact, we mentioned Antoine Smith on the show after the game on Sunday.
Nice, good job.
We did.
Excellent, because he gets forgotten about. He really does, because everybody always has to go back to Corey Dillon, to the Corey Dillon era here. Well, it started with Antoine Smith here. Your ability to run the football, get out edge, get outside into space, and finish games. Antoine Smith was a finisher. They would grind the clock out at the end of games. You just keep doing that all show.
No, I hit the button. I thought I was trying
Corey Dillon was a finisher.
Button.
And that's the thing Sony Michel's got to learn to be, is a finisher. Meaning that
we're going to get the goal line?
I'm talking about the goal line. I'm talking about fourth quarter. Fourth quarterback. Antoine Smith, Corey Dillon, fourth quarterbacks. You'd be in there, and they'd be just running the clock out with those two. Here we go. Remember Brady? Remember all the audio? Let's go, guys. 6-minute drive right here. Let's drain this clock. Let's finish this thing off. They got to get to that point with this kid. Right. And maybe it'll come. I don't know. Hopefully. But I think he's really good between the 20s.
So what I suggested yesterday is we go down the list of NFL starting running backs and say, who would you rather have? Who would you rather have, Sony Michel or Player X?
I like that. We do that with the quarterbacks usually.
Right,
like,
we do it with quarterbacks. That's kind of how you do it with running backs.
That is a realistic representation of how do you view your position, whether you're a Dallas fan and you're going to do it with Dak Prescott, whether you're a Patriots fan with Tom Brady. What other quarterback would you rather have than Tom Brady? What other tight end would you rather have than Rob Gronkowski? Even at 60%, right? Let's do it with
the backs. Let's do it.
I like this game.
Sony or not Sony?
Is that
no?
No.
I got shot down by Tom, too.
Yeah. Well, Tom's pretty good.
I'm confused. To be or not to be?
Yeah. It kind of had that feel, but.
Yeah. That's what I was going for.
It hasn't grown on me in the 10 seconds I've had to think about it.
What about Sony? Are you? Sony or Samsung?
Okay. That makes no sense. Jim's makes sense.
No, you say Todd Gurley.
Okay, Todd Gurley.
Who are you going with? Todd not Gurley. Sony.
Turns my cough.
I'll turn my mic off.
Wait. I wouldn't go with Sony.
But that's not, it's Sony or
not Sony.
You should. Who are you going with?
Todd Gurley.
Sony or Cloudy? Is it Sony or Cloudy?
Todd Gurley. Do you want to determine the order of which guys we go to?
Maybe.
Because I'm biased. I'm going to name all the best guys first.
Maybe if we pick Sony over the one kid.
Maybe
you
Jim should ask us the names. That might be a. What does that have to do with anything?
Well, Sony Michel. Like if we pick Michelle, Jim's got
to
play me.
So you don't want to go division by division. You want to go like best to worst.
No, I don't know. I would go best to worst, Spiegel's but I game. Have it like sort of in an order that I. It would be biased.
Just go division by division. LeSean McCoy.
Factoring in the age and the decline of LeSean McCoy.
This year, I would take Sony Michel.
Sony Michel.
And this is, hey, real quick, to your point, this is how we have to evaluate it. As it is right now, through 11 games, and for whatever player you're comparing it to.
What about, like, for a guy who's injured, I would still...
What do you mean?
Like, Leonard Fournette's been battling an injury all year. Who would you rather have on your team?
Leonard Fournette.
I'd rather take Leonard Fournette. Yeah. Is what I'd rather do.
Okay.
All right, so who are the other starters in the AFC East?
Frank Gore / Kenyon Drake.
I'll go Sony Michel.
Isaiah Crowell.
Sony Michel.
James Conner.
Sony Michel.
This is a hard one.
Sony Michel.
Don't you think this is a hard one?
No, I've seen Conner drop the ball too much in the last several weeks.
Oh, really?
And sort of not be the type of guy that he was all the way up until the Le'Veon Bell deadline.
They've gone away from
running the ball with him too. They've gotten too exotic and are trying to be too pretty with the pass. Instead of being what they were prior to that damn deadline. They had an attitude prior to the damn deadline. They're like, we're rolling with what we have.
No, they're going to run him into the ground and then they get a fresh-legged Le'Veon Bell and run him into the ground the rest of the season. Now Le'Veon Bell's not coming back.
But we're
not
talking about how
Connor.
The team uses him.
I think Connor's hit a wall. Ability. I think he's hit a wall.
I'm just saying that Connor's caught nearly 50 passes and he's run for almost 900 yards and he's been a real factor there.
My quick gut reaction was Sony Michel right away, so I'm going with that. I'm going with Michel against that guy.
Based on potential... I'd go Sony Michel, but James Conner's having a much better season than Sony Michel.
Yes, and he's been there from day one.
Yeah, much better season.
Yeah.
Ravens, Alex Collins.
Pardon me?
Alex Collins.
I would take Sony Michel.
Nick Chubb, Browns.
Nick Chubb.
I like
Nick
Chubb.
Another rookie in the draft, drafted after Michel.
I take Nick Chubb.
Oh, gee, where'd he play his college ball at?
Nick Chubb.
I'd probably go Chubb.
Okay.
Joe Mixon.
I like the name, Chubb. Chubb Rock, 1992.
Mixon's a hard one because I find him to be a detestable human being.
Okay, you can all agree you'd rather have Sony Michel on your team, but who's the better running back?
Probably Mixon.
Mixon.
Like high end.
But Mixon's a better running back.
But see, I look at that guy and I say he's going to be out of the league in 4 years.
So what? Okay. Sony Michel could be out of the league in 2 years. Who knows?
Lamar Miller.
Ooh.
Texans, right?
I like Lamar Miller.
He was good with the Dolphins. He was good with the Texans. I go Lamar Miller.
Yeah.
Any of the Colts backs?
No. They don't have much there. No.
Deion Lewis.
Deion Lewis.
I'll take Deion Lewis.
Yep.
Leonard Fournette.
I'd take Fournette.
Doug Martin.
Oh, I'd take Deion Lewis.
Sony Michel.
Sony Michel.
You take Sony Michel.
Now you got me thinking Deion
Lewis. Yeah, I'd take Deion Lewis too. We all would.
Kareem Hunt.
Oh, God. Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt.
It's creamy.
Kareem Hunt.
Philip Lindsay.
I'll take Sony Michel.
I take Michel there.
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
Melvin Gordon.
You want to do the NFC next, or you want to going to roll through it now?
Yeah, well, no, let's,
wait,
go to the
let's
NFC
see.
Next.
Where do we? How do we do it through the NFC?
Let's take our score here. We're about even.
Okay, well, let's go through the whole.
We'll go to the NFC next, but there's a lot of other running backs we'd take over Sony Michel right now.
Right.
That's what I think the exercise is proving.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Coming up at 10:50 this morning. Can we practice? Yeah, we'll do it next segment.
Okay.
Burt Breer at 11. Kyle Van Noy today. In the 11 o'clock hour, I talked to him last night about his philosophy on player interviews.
Nice.
He doesn't want them to suck. That's what he said.
As we don't want them to suck on the other end.
He wants
it's
them
good
to
philosophy.
Good. He said he was giving it to Gilmore a little bit about his not being so great.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I was like letting him know. Pick up the energy level, and they'll be asking you on to come on every week.
See, right? Van Noy gets it.
Sure does. Sure does. He did an event for the Sports Hub last night. He was fabulous. Great guy, Kyle Van Noy. So,
how's my man Andrews? Was he there?
Oh, he was good, too. I was talking about his truck commercial. I told him it came out really good.
Good for him.
He's got that F-150 deal that he does. You've seen that?
He's quietly cleaner than what he gives off the impression of being.
What do you mean?
Mr. Rugged Man, Mr. Hard ass.
Oh yeah,
South.
He's not like he's not like dip. Logan Mankins.
Spit and dip, and then you pull up to his house, and there's a Range Rover sitting there. I mean, like he's like, you didn't see that. Like, hey, you always wear the same thing on the road. He wears the same outfit, like on the road, like khaki pants, blue blazer, and a white shirt. It doesn't shave. Nothing wrong with that.
Maybe he's got like 10 versions of the same outfit.
No, I wouldn't have 10 versions of that. I think it's the same one, pal. Made by Hagar.
Well, he was dressed. He was dressed very nicely last
Hagar.
Night.
Hagar,
very nicely.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Sony Michel or Player X.
All right. So you guys went with Michel over McCoy, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
You went with Lamar Miller over Michel, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that would put him at 9th in the AFC out of 16 teams.
Okay.
All right. 9th best AFC running back is what you're saying.
Okay.
According to you guys, yeah.
Okay. 9th in just his conference. Okay.
First in the AFC East, though.
But
first in his division,
but the conference,
9th in his conference.
And the conference is stronger this year than people anticipated it being. So you have to throw that caveat in there. The AFC is better than people gave it credit for prior to the start.
It doesn't matter. The running backs. Saquon Barkley, you're going to pick him.
I'm taking Saquon Barkley, and he's on a terrible team.
All right, so NFC East. Zeke Elliott.
Yes.
Zeke.
Adrian Peterson. Well, you want to go Adrian Peterson or Darius Geis, who's the future running back?
I would say
Adrian Peterson.
Well, that's not fair to do Geis because he hasn't played.
I'm still taking Sony Michel over those two.
I think Darius Geis is going to be a beast.
Yeah, I'm taking Sony Michel, knowing what I know right
but
now.
But we got to do it at least for like this year, sorta.
And the Eagles are running with Josh Adams the rest of the way. Rookie out of
Josh Adams has been pretty good out of the gate, but I would still take Sony Michel over him.
All right,
and you know Saquon Barkley.
So in the NFC East, I'm taking Saquon Barkley and Zeke Elliott,
Jordan Howard.
Take Sony Michel, but I don't think Jordan Howard sucks like some people do.
Dalvin Cook.
Ooh, I like Dalvin Cook. No, I'm still taking Sony Michel.
Aaron Jones.
Whew. He's the best thing they got on offense. Flip me quarter on that one.
I'll take Sony Michel. I'll go with the hometown guy for that.
Okay.
Lions, you want to go with Blunt or Kerryon Johnson? Johnson's hurt now.
Kerryon Johnson.
Sony Michel.
Is who you have to go with.
I'll take Sony Michel.
I don't know. Kerryon Johnson's been pretty good. And where was he drafted? He wasn't drafted.
Second round?
Third round, I think. I think he's third. Maybe not.
I thought he was second round, but yeah, either way.
Can I put it like this? I would have rather they waited and drafted him with a lower pick than drafting a first round running back. But I'll go with Sony Michel.
That's like the Nick Chubb thing. Yeah.
We're going to give you two options with the Saints, both Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. Okay. So Ingram first.
No. Sony Michel.
Sony Michel over Ingram.
Over Ingram.
Kamara over
Kamara. I'd take Kamara.
So same thing with the Falcons. Well, no, Devontae Freeman's been hurt all year, so you have to go with Tevin
Coleman.
Coleman,
no, I'm taking Sonny Michel.
Kamara was a fourth rounder, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Third rounder, yeah.
Third rounder.
Panthers, Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey, thank you very much.
Is he pretty good?
Done.
Bucks, Peyton Barber.
I'll take Sonny Michel.
Sonny Michel.
All right, Rams, Todd Gurley.
Todd Gurley.
He's all right.
David Johnson.
David Johnson.
Chris Carson from the Seahawks.
Sonny Michel.
No, I take Sonny Michel.
One team left.
Who are we missing?
Bears? Oh, 49ers.
49.
Matt. Jerick McKinnon was the back, but now Matt Breida.
Matt Breida's been good, but I'd still take Sonny Michel.
Yeah.
Potential is much higher for Sonny Michel. Matt Breida's been good, though. Do the tally. Ah. What number is he in the NFL? Is he? He's probably in the late teens. Mid to late teens.
Who's
probably
Sonny?
Middle of the pack.
Sonny probably middle of the pack.
He's probably middle of the pack running back, which is fine.
Was a rookie?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Starting.
So you would have had him seventh in the NFC.
All right. So we had
you had 15 guys ahead of him.
All right, right there.
Exactly
he's in the
middle.
He's right there in the middle of the league.
For a rookie that started, missed time with injury, that's pretty damn good.
I think you have three rookies ahead of him, though.
And they are? Who do we pick?
Chubb.
Chubb is one.
Barkley.
Barkley.
Chubb, Barkley. And
that's two.
Well, Kerryon Johnson was a borderline.
Yeah.
I didn't take him.
I think that's a flip of the coin.
And Beadle would have put Darius Geis ahead of him, apparently.
If I were drafting, like back at the draft, I would have taken Darius Geis before I took Sonny Michel. Mm.
And Josh Adams, you were considering.
But Geis was hurt before the season even began. 617-779-0985. You know what? He came out better in this than I thought he would, to be middle of the league.
I figured that's where he would be.
That's a pretty good spot for him. Mike is in Billerica. Hey, Mike.
What do you got, Mike?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good. How's Billerica?
Oh, Billerica's great. You know, just at work.
Mm. Yeah, we are too.
So, you guys were listing off the AFC and NFC running backs you'd rather take, and you skipped over his own competition on the team. I have this question for you. If you had to pay either Sonny Michel or James White today, which one would you take?
James White.
I personally am taking James White.
James White. Who wouldn't?
So now Sonny Michel's got down to 10th in the AFC, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way, but they're not really the same role.
Not really.
James White's not doing the same things that Sonny Michel does.
To play the game, you got to understand the concept of the game.
Like, and who's the featured back?
A feature first or second down back, and it's Sonny Michel. If you're going James Devlin and regular personnel with a tight end and two receivers, and you're coming out to run the ball on first down, who's the back? It's not James White. It's Sonny Michel. That's the practice we're running here.
Let's go to Diddy in Plainville. Hi, Diddy.
What's up, Zoe?
What up, D?
How are you? I got a bone to pick with you, Zoe. I love you, man.
It's okay.
I called in before Thanksgiving. I was the kid that got snuffed by Bledsoe with the autograph. And I was on air, and you said you'd be in Plain Ridge the next day, and I found a picture of me and you, and you were a no-show.
I was not a no-show. I was not a no-show. I screwed.
I can get it from Bledsoe, but from Zoe.
Hey. Shut up. I screwed up. I messed the date up. I will be there, Plain Ridge Park Casino, tomorrow night.
Are you...
okay, at Flutie's.
To me, Zoe.
At Flutie's, I swear to God, tomorrow's the date.
Can I say one more thing before you
cut
me off?
Sure.
I love the Patriots, but like, you know, but like the players and stuff, they should show up for the kids, man. Like, if you not you, but like,
for
an autograph, just be there. It's for the kids, man.
Yeah,
I
agree.
For the kids. Yeah. What happened? You told them the wrong date by accident?
Well, I said that I thought we were running every week, the Coors Light ones. It's the last football Thursday of every month.
So, oh, gotcha.
So I screwed up the date. I thought it was the Thursday before Thanksgiving, and obviously wasn't going to be there on Thanksgiving. And I said it on air, and it's very nice that Diddy, you know, absorbed that, took it in, and sorry that he went there. But, yeah, I'll be there tomorrow night. Ain't going to be there long. I'll be there.
What time will you be getting there?
About 7.
What time you be leaving?
I'll be leaving about 8.
So you got an hour window.
You got an hour window.
That's what you have.
I'm like Shaughnessy on those things.
Chad is in Medford today. What's up, Chad?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's
the
up?
Other guy was just comparing running backs, you guys, and Sonny Michel, and he said Chris Johnson with Seattle. The main guy is Rashad Penny. The Patriots, I guess, wanted him out of San Diego State, and Seattle grabbed him 3 picks ahead of the Patriots before they drafted Sonny Michel.
Okay, so you'd rather have would you rather have Penny?
Yeah, he'd return, like, I think, 3 punts his senior year for touchdowns and 2 kickoff returns. But I wouldn't have drafted either one, and nobody in the first round. The way this league's going, I actually agree with Felga. I wouldn't draft, unless he's, you know, somebody, Barry Sanders or something, I wouldn't draft a running back in the first round the way the league is now. With the defensive backs, you can't do nothing. I mean, when it comes to the playoffs, they let you get away with a lot more. But during the season, it's crazy, the flags.
I mean, if this kid rips off 4 straight 100-yard games here, the people will change their tune. And it's all going to be based on how they finish and how they run the ball down the stretch here.
That's
how they're going to be
great. Last Sunday, against Carolina, Rashad Penny had 4 carries for 4 yards.
Not a productive day.
No.
They ended up winning that game.
He had 8 carries for 46 yards the week before against Green Bay. Or it's actually going back a couple weeks. But still, that's what he did. He had a 100-yard game against the Rams. That's been his one standout game of the year. That's what he had. Andrew in Milton today. What's up? Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, Beetle, I heard you say that you'd like Kerryon Johnson over Sony Michel, right?
Yeah, I would have waited around and taken him. I wouldn't have wasted a higher pick.
Let me just make that sting for you a little more. We took Sony Michel at 28 or 31 or something.
Yep.
We traded pick 43 to Detroit and they took Kerryon Johnson. That was also the pick that we got for Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah. Yeah. Andrew. We had actually, I remember talking about this preseason, talking about that and whether or not that was a second guess for how the Patriots, when the Detroit game that night. Talking about whether or not you would have just rather stayed in that spot and taken a guy like Kerryon Johnson instead of
going up and using a first round pick. You got a good point here from listeners on Twitter here too. Forgot about the Bears, and I mentioned the Bears, but like a guy like Cohen, you know, Tank Cohen,
Tariq Cohen,
yeah,
good back. Who do we say for the Bears? Oh, we used what's his name? I said
we used Jordan Howard, not Tariq Cohen.
Yeah, it should be Cohen.
Yeah.
Well, then you got to include James White then,
right? So there we go.
And Penny's not the guy in Seattle. Chris Carson's the main back.
Yeah, no, I know that. I was just telling this guy what Penny had done. He loves him so much. I don't know that I would really.
Right.
I don't know that I would be making that swap. I wouldn't
average
make that
yard
swap.
Per carry left.
Yeah, I wouldn't make that swap. No, I'm keeping Sonny Michel in that situation. 617-779-0985. You want to continue on that with your thoughts? We got Sonny Michel right in the middle of the pack in the NFL at the running back position, which I guess is not bad.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What, is there a problem?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Up.
It's tip-off time for the Patino Press, starring Hall of Fame basketball coach Rick Pitino. You about to get the real inside scoop on the basketball world, from the NBA to who's next on the scene in college hoops. Give it up for 2-time national championship coach Rick Pitino and Steve Stratton.
That's the start of the Pitino Press.
It doesn't sound real. It sounds like it's a cartoon.
Get ready for the Pitino Press.
Hi there.
It's tip-off time for the Pitino Press, starring Hall of Fame basketball coach Rick Pitino.
It sounds like my kids watching Cartoon Channel. Like, you're down there cooking, like, oh, okay, he's got something on. What is that?
Is doing a podcast what, like, the unemployed now do? Is that what that is? Have people like him destroyed?
You know what I don't understand?
What it means to have a decent podcast.
And I know people pump their own podcasts, and it's how do you get paid for them?
You sell ads,
I guess.
You get clients to support them, and yeah, it's like anything else, but still.
But like you could click
like,
on
what is this?
On podcasts and listen, but not pay for them.
Is this like what you do now when you're out of a job, like Rick Pitino is, and your future prospects are not great? What are we hearing?
Maybe my friends could what? I think it's one of those things only we can hear.
Oh. So it's just like, oh, well, we'll do a podcast. And you're like, what? Why? Why is Rick Pitino doing a podcast?
So why is a guy that has made that much money do a podcast?
Like to fill the days? I don't know.
It's like Charlie Weiss does his thing with Bob Papa.
He has one too?
He and Bob Papa do a show.
Oh, God.
Do it
once a week.
I think once a week.
Oh, this is so bad.
For NFL series. And
it's
I'm
just like unemployed people doing podcasts.
Charlie Weiss has made $64.5 million post Tom Brady. Just got his final payment from Notre Dame 2 years ago. And Kansas, I think, kicked in another one last year. The one from Notre Dame 2 years ago was $19 million.
So he got rich.
$64 million post Brady.
It's pretty good. It's good living.
You know where I'd be $64 million post-Brady?
Not here. Not here.
Adios, amigos.
Patino Press. Rick Pitino and Scary Terry. All right, so he introduced his guest.
I see Pitino, though, and I think, you know what? I want to eat spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah, you want to go to the Italian restaurant, get a booth with him?
He makes me want to eat Italian food.
Give it up for two-time national championship coach, Rick Pitino.
Rick Pitino, here he comes.
Here he is.
He said, "Give it up!"
I can't even stop smiling long enough to say his name.
You say, "Give it up for
Rick
him!"
Like, you know,
this is a podcast. There's no live studio audience.
But here he comes anyway. Yeah. Pitino, it's Rick Pitino. You know, you made it when you get your own sauce too. Because we were sitting there, and I used to do radio.
Is that how you know?
I used to do radio back in the day with in the same building as a great late Buddy Cianci, former mayor of Providence.
Yeah.
And he would stand outside. He'd tap the back of his cigarette pack when he's smoking there towards the end. He said, "Hey, Zolak, come here. Got something for you." He reaches in his car and goes, "Here, kid, catch. It's Buddy Cianci's meat sauce, marinara." And I'm like, "Okay." He goes, "You try that. That's good. Don't put any more garlic in it. You don't need any more garlic. It's perfect. Just put it on anything. Eat that on anything."
It's kind of like a Joe Green Coke moment.
Yeah, I always thought it would have been Joe Green or Lynn Swan throwing their jersey to me, but
thanks,
Buddy Cianci throwing me a 16-ounce jar of sauce. It's kind of cool, though. Yeah.
All right, so what happens next? Terry Rozier.
Well, I'd like to welcome someone to Pitino Press that's one of my all-time favorite basketball players that I recruited, and that's none other than Boston's outstanding guard, Terry Rozier. Terry, welcome to the program.
Oh, I thought we were going to hear his voice.
It's Rozier's coach.
It's a good interview.
I think you would know that. You recruited me.
One of my favorite players that I recruited, meaning the recruitment was one of his favorites, like one of the best payments.
No, I think it sounds to me
the finest.
I like being around this kid.
Of all the women of the night in Louisville?
No, I think I'm glad I landed this kid because I like him.
Did he get taken to the Italian restaurant? I mean, how did he wine and dine Terry Rozier?
Ladybirds.
Right. The Ladybirds, all of them, all the best ones for
support. There's support
for Scary Terry.
There's support group for the athletic department there.
A support group.
Yeah, they help show you around campus. You get lost, they know where they're going.
You know that Terry Rozier came up in some of those text messages in Rick Pitino's case, but Terry Rozier is not going to talk about that. So, let's see what else he's got to say.
It's not so much about starting.
Wait, hold on. We should set that up. So later on in the podcast, he asks questions about Terry Rozier and what he's doing now and what's going on with his situation with the Celtics, to which he responds with talking about, is it that he's not starting that would possibly make him unhappy, and what is going to make him happy and what he's looking for down the road?
No, it's not so much about starting. It's really not. I mean, I'm going into my fifth year after this. So, you know, I would love to start. I don't look at myself, and nothing is wrong with it, being a six man coming off the bench, but I don't really look at myself that. But that's not my main focus. Of course, I want to win. I've been a winner all my life, coming through your program and then being with the Boston Celtics. I like winning. I don't know how I can adjust if I try to take a starting job somewhere, but I'm playing for an awful team, and we're not winning no more. It's just like something that I don't think that I can adjust to, you know, being around people that's okay with just, you know, losing. But at the same time, it's like I still want to keep my options open. I feel like I've seen a lot in these 4 years, how much a business this is. And I'm just, I think I should get everything that I deserve.
So do you want to stay where there is winning, and do you not care about starting, or is it about the money? Because everything there sort of contradicts the other thing.
Yeah.
Any
finishes with the money, which to me is the grand finale, which is what he's all about. He wants to get paid, which is fine.
Keep remember, I look at myself as a starter.
You want to get paid.
I know I'm off the bench. It's cool and all, but I still got my perception and my mentality is I'm a starter.
He wants to get paid. That's what that is. It isn't about winning. It's not about being in a good role. You said, but at the same time, I mean, this is a business, and I need to get, you know. Would he prefer to get paid by the Celtics than another team? Sure. But he prefers to get paid first over everything else. Would it be nice to get paid by a winning team? Of course it would. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want their money and play on a good team? By the way, did I hear he describes himself as the sixth man there? Is he the Celtics' sixth man?
No.
Is he the sixth best player on this team?
No.
So he's got a little bit of inflated self-worth.
Well, he tells you, in my mentality, I'm a starter. Even though I'm the sixth man, I come off the bench, and that's cool.
You're not a starter, and you're not the sixth man.
I don't view myself that way as that sixth man. They got some inflated issues.
Now, why don't we talk to the head coach of the team, Brad Stevens.
What's your first question going to be? So, hold on a second. Bring me in.
Coach Stevens joining us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Hey, Coach.
Hey guys.
I screwed that up already. Do it again.
Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing great.
Good, Coach. Your wife get that green bean casserole thing fixed from last week?
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We'll talk to head coach Brad Stevens momentarily. Craig is in Jamaica Plain. What's up, Craig?
How you doing?
What's going on?
What's up, Craig?
Not too much. I just wanted just to mention Sony Michel. I just feel like his horrific knee injury like a month ago, and then he came back, and then did you see what happened with his back?
Yeah. Thought he showed some toughness in that game coming back.
And he wanted to just come back. I mean, they said it was a mid-stomach issue. But, to me, that looked like he broke his spine.
Yeah, it was his back. He had the heating pad on his back on the bench.
Yeah, but and he came back, and he wanted to come back. And I don't know. I just love the intensity, and I don't want to be a Sony Michel basher. That's all.
Okay.
I'm not bashing him. Have you bashed him?
No. Like, we complimented him for coming back, you know, after getting twisted and upright. And that's to him, too. He's got to learn to get down. Got to get down. Stay low.
I disagree with the take that he is the reason why the Patriots won the game on Sunday. And you do as well.
It's your offensive line.
Yeah, sorry. I don't look at the running back.
Like Mason Cannon, tight end. That's three starters up front. We're back that you didn't have. And, I still think you could have ran with Cordarrelle Patterson there. He wouldn't have, I think, got to the number Sony got to, but you could have been effective. So, little Patterson, little James White, they could have got through that game. But it's games like that where you're going to save James White on the back end. That's going to help. Like, that wasn't a big James White day, and that's good.
But they like to run James White down near the goal line. They like to run him in the red zone.
He's quirky, man. He knows how to get up underneath, get in those holes, and find little creases. That's just being a savvy player.
Or they're afraid of his fumbling problems that he had at Georgia.
That could be.
That they still think that could somehow be a factor.
Yeah, it's not like they're scoring 35 or 38 a game now.
They're not trusting him with the football yet.
Right.
In those positions, which doesn't reflect well on him, does it?
No, because it tells you maybe he's fumbling in practice or something. Because he hasn't really fumbled in the game.
Right.
He put the one on the ground up in Chicago, but he got his knee pretty much dislocated. So, I don't blame him for fumbling that. That stuff happens, man. Quick injury, you freak out, all of a sudden you black out, and that ball gets knocked out. Yeah.
I'm just watching through the glass, seeing what's going on back there.
Okay.
What's the update? Do we have one?
No? They're efforting.
Efforting.
Oh, it's okay.
It's rare.
I'm going to give it to him, man, for being late.
It's rare. Doesn't happen very often, but now you got to sort of tap dance.
I'm going to guess he doesn't call at all because he's not late. So he's got the day messed up or something.
Well, no, they asked us to move him, but it was right in the middle of the 11 o'clock hour when we have Bert in. We have a Patriots player calling in. Yeah. We have Belichick's press conference. So
right.
I said, well, can we move it to like 10:50? He said,
oh,
sure.
I can't wait to get the Breer. Can't wait to get the Breer. You see some of his mock draft stuff?
No, why? What happened?
He's got one of these quarterbacks like in the top 15. I can't believe it. Oh, my God. You put your quarterback in the top 15.
You understand that when you do a mock draft that you're not doing what you would do as a draft. You're doing what you believe that people in the league would do.
Which is even scarier.
And we have
yeah.
seen the league yeah. make a number of horrible picks yeah. over the years.
There's another one coming.
Right? I mean,
no, Bert would have him going one overall.
Pardon me?
Bert would have him going one overall if it was up
no,
to him.
No, Bert would not. Bert has watched a lot of their games this year.
I just like how Bert can't hear you right now. And he's like, what's he saying? What's he saying about me?
He said, Bert, you put him number one overall. I said, no, he would not do that. No, he said no.
That is when you do the mock, though. You do the mock, you've got to try and guess what all the people in the NFL front offices would be doing.
Yeah, stupidity of which this is, team.
Which is not easy to do.
Right.
Yeah, but this is the time of year mocks start coming out because this is the time of year that teams start letting on what they might do, right?
Oh, yes.
I think.
Yes. They start leaking things here and there, start letting things trickle out.
These mock drafts aren't the like Todd McShay's of the world. Truly analyzing. It's analyzing and talking to people. It's both. That's why they can't get it right in like the previous, like the day after the draft, they have the mock draft for the next year. It's completely different from what it actually is. Because they don't know what teams are looking at.
Right.
Yet.
They'll figure it out though. Early. These are the early mocks at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, do you think Kuiper's the best evaluator of talent around, or does he just have connections?
Connections.
And he also is an evaluator.
Right.
I think he's probably more connected now than ever before.
I think it's
he's
machine,
relying
man.
More on that yeah. than what it used to be. When he first started, I think you were dealing with a guy who just evaluated the guys and then would rip the teams based on who they picked. Mm. Like we saw when he ripped the Colts many moons ago.
That was great.
That was the greatest thing ever. The draft would be so much better if they'd allow you to do that now.
Did Speaking of Trev which, Alberts?
Perfect time to bring this up. We did not bring this up yesterday. What's going on? Do we have him?
What?
I don't know. Did you see that ESPN, ABC is taking the draft all 3 days now?
Yeah.
Starting
ABC's
next year.
That's right.
That is the case of a league just holding one of their rights holders like
hostage.
over exactly, holding them hostage.
Yeah.
Informing them of what it is that they're going to be doing. That's really what it is. They put it on Fox last year. Now they're going to put it on ESPN, ABC. It's just because they can dictate whatever it is. Hey, you do this. Do this. You want to be our partner? Do this. That's what that is. Let's welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Brad Stevens is with us on Zolak and Bertrand. Hi, Brad.
Hey, guys.
Hey, coach.
I'm a few minutes late.
Yeah, a little tardy there.
Lost track of the change in time.
Hey, whose decision is that to come back? Is that your decision, team's decision to come back immediately after game, maybe not spend the night on Bourbon Street because you guys don't play until Friday? Not that you would go out, but I think we had Sean Grandy on. He was excited he came back and got in his own bed.
We do everything, to be honest, based on what time we think we're going to land and what our schedule is like after that. Usually we try to use 3 a.m. as a line of that we don't want to cross, just to kind of stay on the sleep patterns that we can to the best of our ability through these 82 games. We were lucky that we got a pretty good tailwind and got back. I pulled into my house at 3 a.m. on the dot. So this is a challenging part of the NBA is, you know, do you fly the next day? Do you fly that night? Everybody wants to come home after the game. That's all the time. But like when we played Portland, we stayed overnight, flew the next day, and we've had good success coming from the west to the east recently because of staying overnight. But this time, because of the good fortune with the flight time and the fact that it was a 3 a.m. arrival, that was right on our lines, we decided to come back since we have 3 days off here.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sean was talking about just sort of being on the road in the NBA, no matter what it is, coach, player, broadcaster, that, you know, it's a late bedtime for a lot of people anyway.
Yeah.
When you're on the road, that it's not, you know, there's the game and then guys might get something to eat and they got to wind down after playing a game. And he said, everyone goes to bed really late. So that line has to be really late. And you seem to indicate that with 3 a.m.
I think one of the biggest, the things I never thought about right when I came here and I took this job was is where we're located and how far the travel can be. And coming back to Boston is really the key to your travel. It's not going west, right? You're gonna gain an hour at least when in the central time zone here on Saturday when you play Minnesota. But when you come back from Minnesota, that's going to be another 2:30, 2:45 a.m. arrival. You know, the next week we have Chicago again. Again, you're going to gain an hour traveling over, but you're going to lose one coming back. Like, it's always coming back here that is really what you're looking at from a travel standpoint. We just try to do the best we can. We work with sleep specialists that that help us kind of set our schedule for the year. And real generally, we try to keep the 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. time frame as untouchable. There will be some times where we get in at 3, and then we'll let them sleep in, and then we make practice later today. You know, and we just try to, you know, be able to catch up where we can catch up, but try to maintain as much consistency as possible.
All right, Coach, I'm sitting there, you're looking at the state of your team, and you make the decision to put Marcus Smart in the starting lineup. Obviously, easy question. How'd you like the results, and is this something that you may stick with here in the short term moving forward?
Well, I think that it's certainly something that we have to consider as we move forward. We played well the other day, but I think that just like, you know, from a coach's seat, I don't think you can overreact to a bad day. I think you're more looking, and you can't overreact to a good one. You're more looking for stretches of good. And can we, you know, put multiple games together? I thought Marcus played great. I thought he complimented the other guys in the starting lineup well. I thought his defensive intensity was critical the other night and usually is critical. And, you know, I think the hard part about starting Marcus is you can't bring him off the bench to energize you. You know, like, that's the challenge, right? Because he does that well whenever he's in the game. And, you know, should we continue to do it, which I would be leaning towards right now, I think that ultimately, you know, we're going to have to play better as a team for 48 minutes. Monday night was a good first step. And actually, this road trip, I thought we played pretty well for the most part. I thought the Dallas game, Dallas played really well. I thought that we looked a step slow that day, but played well in Atlanta, had our moments in Dallas, played well in New Orleans. I think it's something we can build off of.
With there not being another game until Friday, what's sort of the focus this week and what are you guys working on?
Well, yesterday was off, which was much needed. I think that that's a, you know, the other thing is after we finish the Minnesota game on Saturday of this week, we'll have been on the road to over half of the Western Conference in the first month and a half, which I've never been through. So yesterday was a great day to take off, get back, hang out with your family and kind of recharge. Today we come back in, practice. Today will be a reasonably hard practice. One of the more competitive practices mid-season that we'll have all year. And then tomorrow will be light. Get ready for Cleveland Friday, Minnesota Saturday, and get back at it.
Update on Jaylen Brown real quick here before we let you go. Tailbone.
He said, I just saw him in the casket, and he told me he's feeling better. So that's my high-level medical update
nice.
For you.
All right.
And maybe I'll have another one for the media when I meet with them at 12:30.
Aha. All right.
All right, Coach. Appreciate your time as always.
All right, guys. Take care.
See you, Coach. Right.
Brad Stevens with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. I thought, Hardy, you were going to ask him something.
Yeah. No. Right. No. Jim was talking to me right when Zoe asked a very good question about Jaylen Brown. I didn't hear what his answer
Tailbone.
Was.
Said he's, saw him at breakfast, said, I feel better, and that's his personal medical opinion. He might have something a little extra for you at 12:30 for the media.
What are we?
Well, I think he has to talk to his medical staff.
He has to talk to a doctor or trainer about it.
We're going
to
let the doctors come in.
To the player.
We'll let the doctor come in, give me the diagnosis, and then we'll roll with that.
So the player feels better, so I know that.
Yes. The actual real media, I'll have something else in an hour and a half.
I like that. I said, you know, we got to really study this stuff. 2 a.m. to 10 a.m., you know, we do a sleep studies for the plane. I'm like, dude, 2 Percocets and a beer. You guys are good.
Well,
knock them right out.
I mean, I know they've got their sleep experts and all that stuff, but, I mean, do they take into account just how much better it is, as you said yesterday, though, just to sleep in your own bed.
Yeah. Well,
talking to Grandy,
he's
yesterday.
Right. He's right.
What he said
with
a day off too, they factor what the schedule is the next day, and if it's a day off, they can factor that in.
Right.
But no matter where they are,
he's right. The difficulty is coming back, and that's why you know, even going back to last year when Patriots went out to Denver, you stay in Denver, you get used to altitude, you got to play in Mexico, It took you a good 3 or 4 days to get reacclimated to everything when you came back. And they tried to stay on much of schedule as they could, much of an Eastern, EST, Eastern Standard Time schedule, as much as they could when they were out there. And that's the hardest thing to do for an athlete, is coming back. Not going out west, it's coming back. So I think when these NFL playoff things ends up shaking down, you have to take a peek at some of these teams that may have to travel from west to east, like a L.A. Charger team, depending on matchups, and see how those teams are affected. Because Seattle's been a team that's been known to, I think, travel well. And that's an unusual thing. It's an unusual thing for a West Coast team to always play well on the road.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.